This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Baruch Hama, welcome everyone. Parshas Vayishlach. Thank you everyone for joining us this evening. The Shurim on Sefer Bereishis are sponsored by our dear friends, the Zakheim Mishpacha, by Dr. Zakheim, Le'iloi Nishmas, Rav Shloima Eliezer ben Harav Yaakov Zakheim, and Le'iloi Nishmas, her mother, Rivka Bas Tuvia, the Neshama Shavan Aliyah. They should be Melitza Yesharim for their whole family at Bias Gal Tzedek. They should have a great Aliyah, B'gan Eden Tehimenu Chasam. Tonight's shir is sponsored by David and Jake Mala in honor of Eli Meir's birthday. We wish that on this occasion they should go up Mala Mala. Okay, welcome everybody. Also, very important announcement, as Hanukkah is approaching, hopefully you all have your copy of The Light and the Splendor on Hanukkah. It's now available from Art Scroll, 20% off, or it's available right here. As well, all the Svarim are available on our site now before Hanukkah. They're discounted, so check it out, rabbidg.com. Parshas Vayishlach. So I have a very interesting and important observation regarding Yaakov Avinu's reaction to his encounter with Esav HaRasha. Yaakov Avinu prepared many different avenues to be able to counteract Esav. The pasuk says Yaakov Avinu was mispalel. Hatzileini na miyad achi miyad Esav. And of course, like good Jew, he prepared some appropriate shoychad to bribe Esav. And he also prepared to fight with Esav. V'hayayim machana yosvi Nishar Lefleta. Says Rashi, what does that mean that the second camp would run away? Because Al Karchai, against his will, Ki Alochimima, I'll fight with him. Says Rashi, Hiskinatzmai Lishoy Shadvarim. Yaakov Avinu prepared himself for three things: Ledoron, for a gift, Letfila, for prayer, Ulamachama, and for war. A gift, as we know, the Pasuk enumerates the great gift that Yaakov Avinu sent to Esav. Prayer, Eloikea Avi Avraham, and war, V'hayamachana Shalfleta. So Yaakov Avinu prepared spiritually and physically, which is certainly worthy of our attention. The Yaakov Avinu prepared in two ways, physically and spiritually. Because throughout our history, there have been many decrees against the Jewish people. And depending on the decree, it would depend on the reaction. In other words, sometimes our response is a physical response, and sometimes our response is a spiritual response. Let's examine, says Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, in the Koivitz Ha'arais, in what is called Dugmois Lebiure Agadois Al Derech Hapshat. He says, you know, throughout history, what have our forefathers done when encountering decrees against them, when encountering Gezeros Shmad, when encountering harsh Gezeros? So, because whenever we want to know what to do, we try to emulate and follow the footsteps of our forefathers. Imloy seidi lo chayofa banoshim. It says in Shershim, if you don't know what to do, O beautiful of women, that's referring to Klal Yisrael. Tzi'i loch be'ikvei atzoin. Go in the footsteps of the sheep. In other words, when we don't know what to do, we follow the precedent of our ancestors. So what was the reaction of our ancestors to various decrees throughout history? So, we're about to celebrate and encounter one of the great Yomim Tovim, Chanukah, and a similar but different Yom Tov, we have Purim. And the reaction of the Jewish people to the various decrees in times of Chanukah and Purim are very different. Now, I know you all know that Chanukah we celebrate physically, Chanukah we celebrate spiritually, L'hoidos U'lehallel, and Purim we celebrate physically, Mishta V'Simcha. And I know that you're familiar with the reason why, the famous Levush, because in times of Chanukah, they try to take away our religion. So therefore, they try to take away our religion, they try to take away our tefillah, Torah. We celebrate spiritually. In times of Purim, they try to kill us physically, so we celebrate physically. But we have to ask a different question. What was the reaction of the Jewish people in the times of Chanukah, and what was the reaction of Jewish people in times of Purim? So, we know, in the times of Purim, the reaction was, Lech kinoi, says, kol hayudim, Hanimtzim b'shushan v'tzumo alah. They fasted, they gathered, they prayed. And Esther goes to Achashverosh. Va'tevk v'tischanen loy. She cried and she beseeched. So in times of Purim, they davened. They did tshuva. They cried out. Va'yitzak. Tzeaka gedoyla ha'umara. Fine. Did they fight a war? No. Did they arm themselves? Jewish resistance? Jewish partisans? No. Say, of course not, because there's no way they would have been able to fight the Persian empire, the Persian army. That's irrelevant whether they would have been successful or not. They had prophets in their days. If the prophets would have said the right thing to do is to go to war, they would have went to war. The fact that they had no shot of winning, why would that have stopped them? It didn't stop them in times of Hanukkah. In times of Hanukkah, they didn't have a shot of winning either. So it's interesting. In the times of Purim, so this is not the question you're used to hearing. You're used to hearing, why Hanukkah we celebrate spiritually and Purim we celebrate physically. I'm asking a different question. Why in the times of Hanukkah did they fight a war, and in the times of Purim, they did tshuva? Why didn't they fight a war against Amalek, against the Amalekim, against Haman? Why in the times of Hanukkah did they fight a war? And we don't specifically find that they did tshuva and they davened in times of Hanukkah. They went to war. Why in times of Hanukkah did they go to war? And in times of Purim, they fasted and they did tshuva. So Rabbi Chanan reveals an amazing principle that he heard from the Chafetz Chaim. This is one of the most mystical and startling concepts you'll ever hear. Even though you're accustomed to hearing that everything that happens in this world is what is called a Maaseh Hashem, an act of God, it's not true. There is a force in this world that God allows to operate, and He allows this force also to do certain things in this world. There's Maaseh Hashem, and there's Maaseh Satan. Satan is a force. God gave it power, God gave it ability, God gave it its job, and it does its job very diligently. Now, how do you know if it's an act of God or an act of the Satan? Times of Purim, what was the decree? What did they try to do? They tried to annihilate us. Who's doing that? Where is that rooted? God is letting them decree, Lahashmin Laragali Abid. So what does God want us to do? Because God wants us to come closer to Him and to do tshuva. In fact, the Gemara says that when Haman removed his ring, it was far more effective than all 48 Nevi'im that stood up against the Jewish people. When Haman removed his ring, it caused us to do tshuva much more than all 48 Nevi'im. So when the decree is against our bodies, it's an act of God. If it's an act of God, you can't go to war. Who are you going to fight? You're going to fight against God? Can't fight God. V'hiloy sitzlach. So what do you need to do? You need to do tshuva. So in times of Purim, they didn't bother arming. They knew it was an act of God. If it's an act of God, you have to abolish it with tefillah, with tshuva. However, in times of Hanukkah, they didn't want to kill us. They said, Jews, stay alive. We need you. We just want you to shed your religion. So if it's a gezerah against the Torah, is that an act of God? Would God ever allow the decree against our religion? Of course not. That's the Satan's doing. So what are you going to do? Tshuva? No. The Satan doesn't care if you do tshuva. What do you need to do? You need to fight a war. And even if Jews die, the only way to weaken the Satan is you need to go to war. So Rabbi Chanan says there are two kinds of decrees. There's a decree against a decree that comes from God. A decree that comes from God, you got to repent and daven. A decree that comes from the Satan, what do you have to do? You got to fight a war. You might not win. There might be many casualties, but you'll weaken the Satan. Now, so what was Yaakov Avinu doing? He's a little confused. Yaakov Avinu, he's fighting a war and he's davening. He doesn't know if it's Hanukkah or Purim. That's a little strange. You know, in the times of Hanukkah, they fought a war. In the times of Purim, they did tshuva. Yaakov Avinu, he's doing both. So, interestingly, the Rabbi Chanan says, what exactly I heard from the Chafetz Chaim? Now you're going to hear my great proficiency in the holy tongue of Yiddish. Says Rabbi Chanan, I heard from the holy mouth of the Chafetz Chaim. We're on the bottom of page 1. Okay, here we go. Yoidin Habin Farzen Bishas is Habin Zich Eingehoibin Digzeros von the Yabeskis. Who's the Yabeskis? The Yabuskim, the communists. Habin Yoidin Gedarft Arois Gagin Zayoif Melchomim Siris Nefesh. We needed to go out to war. Emes is Havoltin Taka Asach Yidin Naragavarin. Truth is, many Jews would have died. You hear this, Rabbi Fal? Many Yidin would have died. They wouldn't have won the war. Aber der Koyach von Satan wird geweren abgeschwacht. The Satan would have been weakened. Beshas es hat sich aber nicht gefunden. Wer soll sich moisten ever sein an Mahama? Because Jews did not go out to fight. Seinen die Yabeskes geworden starker. The Yabuskim got stronger. Says Rabbi Chanan, the communists didn't want to kill us. The communists wanted to take away our religion. What was the right reaction against the communists? War. Aye, they would have brutalized us. So be it. That's the only way to weaken the Satan. So Rabbi Chanan establishes, based on the holy words of the Chafetz Chaim, there are different things that happen in this war, in this world. When in Amsterdam they decree against Shechita or against Mila, that ain't an act of God, that's an act of the Satan. What should be the reaction of the Jewish people? According to Rabbi Chanan, Nera Givaren, Melchama b'Mesiras Nefesh. That's what the Chafetz Chaim would advise. Aye, we don't have a shot, doesn't matter. That's the only way to attack the Satan. But at times when they decreed to annihilate Jews, then this is not an act of Satan, this is an act of God, we have to do tshuva. Says Rabbi Chanan, in our times, he calls the communists the Adoimim. Why are they called the Adoimim? Because what's the symbol of communism? You know, the red circle. We needed to fight a war. The only thing is, Rabbi Chanan says, to fight a war, you need general. For to be a general, you got to be a great Talmud Chacham and no Kol HaTarakula, and we don't have adequate generals. But therefore, says Rabbi Chanan, if you can't fight them indirectly, if you can't fight them directly, you have to fight them indirectly. And the way to overcome Amalek, we know Amalek comes when the Jews slacken off in Limud HaTorah. So the way to overcome Amalek is to strengthen in Limud HaTorah. So we've established the following principle. There are two kinds of decrees against the Jewish people. If it's a physical decree, it's coming from God. We have to do tshuva. If it's a spiritual decree, it's an act of the Satan, we have to fight a war. What would you say the danger of Esav was in coming against Yaakov? Esav is coming, 400 men. He's coming to annihilate Yaakov Avinu and his family. If in that case, Yaakov Avinu should have davened, because this was an act of God, who are you going to fight against? You're going to fight against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So why is Yaakov preparing for warfare? I mean, it seems like Yaakov is confused. Is Esav Chanukah or is Esav Purim? I would have said Esav is clearly Purim. In fact, the Baal HaTurim says, Hatzileini na miyad Rosh Teva is Haman. So if this is a Purim, if he's coming to physically annihilate us, then he needs to do tshuva. What's he fighting? In Purim, times of Purim, they didn't fight. Why is Yaakovinu preparing for war? And the answer is very obvious. There's a very well-known exposition of the Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi asks, Yaakovinu says, Hatzileini na miyad achi miyad Esav. Really? Esav is Yaakov's brother? I never knew that. Really? It's a big chiddush. You hear this tefillah? Hatzileini na miyad achi miyad. Just say, Hatzileini na miyad achi. We all know who Yaakov's brother was. Or Hatzileini na miyad Esav. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, from this pasuk we learn that if you daven for a chayla, you can't just say, Hashem, help out that choyla on Ocean Parkway. Which one? What's his name? God knows his name. No. There's halacha and tefillah. You need to be precise, to be exact. It's like dialing. It's like paying someone on Zelle. So I got some swarm yesterday. The guy asked me, okay, Zelle. So I Zelled. I'm making up an ad. I Zelled Redbird 18 at Yahoo. So I said, did you get the money? No. I said, well, I put in Red Bird. No, Red Birds. Red Bird. So now, the money is floating in outer space for 14 days because your recipient is not registered with Zelle. And Be'ezras Hashem Yizbarach B'siyata D'shmaya, I'll get back my $30 in 14 days because I don't have time to call Citibank and, you know, figure this out. So this morning I Zelled red birds. Very good. Same thing with tefillah. You need to be exact. The story goes, Rabbi Kiva Eger once davened for Rivka, you know, Rivka bas Rachel, and Rabbi Kiva Eger said, it wasn't Niskabel. You obviously gave me the wrong name. So it turns out they gave him the wrong name. It was Rachel bas Rivka, and he davened, and she had her for Shalema. So we learn it from this pasuk that when it comes to davening, you have to be exact in tefillah. But still, says the Beis Halevi, so just say Hatzileni na miyad ochi Esav. What's Hatzileni na miyad ochi miyad Esav? What's this double superfluosity over here? Verbosity, extraness. What is this extra phrase? And the Beis Halevi says, Masei Avos Simin Labanim. The actions of our forefathers portend the future history of the Jewish people. Esav basically has two schemes to try to destroy the Jewish people. The first is Miyad Esav. Esav is going to come and physically annihilate the Jewish people. However, after a certain point in history, Esav realizes that gas chambers and crematorias and inquisition and crusades, it ain't going to destroy the Jewish people. Because the more our back is up against the wall, the more we will be meiser nefesh for Hashem and His Torah. And therefore Esav tries a much more effective tactic, and that is miyad ochi. We open up all the universities, we open up all the colleges, we open up the workforce, and egalitarianism, and liberty, and freedom, and equality. And all of a sudden Esav sees that what a Holocaust cannot accomplish, freedom could accomplish. That is the attack of Miyad Ochi. Therefore, Esav, he comes with 400 men, he's coming to Lahashmid, Laroig, Uliabed. And it didn't work. So you know what he says? Tzigana, Amcha, Shariti, I'll give you a few of my guys, they'll hang out with you, and they'll stay with you, Ara Sharavei Elecha Seira, until you catch up with me in Seir. Esav said, you know, I'll befriend you, I'll be close to you, no problem. You want to go to my colleges, you want to go to my universities, you want to go to my stadiums, you want to enter my government, you want full freedom, you want to marry into us. It's all available to you. And Yaakov Avinu was more afraid of Miyad Ochi than Miyad Esav. How do we know? Because first he davens Hatzileni na Miyad Ochi, and then he davens Miyad Esav, says the Beis Halevi. And Hashem did Yaakov Avinu a very important favor. Vayoshav Esav Bayoim Hahu Darkoi Seira. The Mefarshim ask, why does the Torah have to say Esav returned on that day? Who cares who returned on that day? Maybe he returned in 3.5 days. The answer is because Yaakov Avinu was afraid that Esav should not spend with him even one moment. So Ribbono Shel Olam had it that on that very day Esav went ahead, and Yaakov says, catch up to you later. Don't even leave one man with me. We go too slow for you. We'll catch up with you later. That was the second tactic of Esav HaRasha. Because throughout our history, when the Goyim realized that Lahashmid Larag Eliyabed is not effective, they tear down the ghetto walls, and they allow us to enter all echelons of society. And like Napoleon said, liberté, égalité, and some other phrase that he used. And that is a far more effective way of destroying the Jewish people. In fact, the Tanud Velyo says that when Esav said to Yaakov Avinu, Nissa v'neilecha ve'elcha l'negdecha, he said, let's make a deal. Right now, I don't believe in anything. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in world to come. I don't believe in Torah. I'll make a deal with you. You'll take part of my Olam Hazeh, I'll take part of your Olam Haba. You know what that means? That means, you know what? I'll believe in God, monotheism, and I'll believe in love your neighbor as yourself, and I'll believe in Torah Min HaShamayim and the afterlife, And I'll get a little Olam Haba, I'll get a half Olam Haba, and I want you to take a little Olam Hazeh. Stop learning so much. Stop davening so much. You know, you need to spend more time watching the NFL. You know, the game starts 1 o'clock. So you have to do hachanas, chasidim harishayim, ha-yishayim, sha'achas, kaidim tefilasam. It's already 12 o'clock, time to tailgate. And then you have 1 to 4, and then 4 to 7, and then Sunday night football, and Monday night football, and Thursday night football, and Thanksgiving football. And then Avada, you have NBA, NHL, MLB, and all the other avenues of Esav. So take a little shtickle oilam hazeh. I'll take a shtickle oilam haba. You take a shtickle oilam hazeh, and we'll call it even 50-50. And Yaakov says, get out of here, get lost. I don't want your oilam hazeh. I don't want even one of your guys. You take your oilam hazeh, and I will be dedicated to the world to come. And this was the much more dangerous attack of Esav. Not Hatzileni na miyad Esav. Hatzileni na miyad Achi. The Achi is much more dangerous than the miyad Esav. So I want to share with you all the Gedolei Hadoros uncover in this encounter between Yaakov and Esav these two simultaneous approaches that Esav was using. So here in the Beis Halevi we see miyad Achi, miyad Esav. Look at the wrestling match. Vayivaser Yaakov levadoi. Yaakov was left alone. Vayeovek ish imoi. Vayeovek. Anybody know what the word vayeovek means? Wrestle. WWW. How does it go? That was the original WWW. How does it go? Nobody. WWF. Thank you. Not that I know. I just had to prepare to be able to. Vayivotzer Yaakov levadoi, vayeovek ish. What does vayeovek mean? Rashi says two perushim. One is a lashon of vayisaper, a lashon avak, dust. They were kicking up dust with their feet. They were clawing at each other, annoying at each other, were biting at each other until the dust climbed up and flew off the ground and was kicked up. And then Rashi says another pshat, avak is a lashon of vayiskasher. They got entangled and embraced and intertwined. Says the Ksav Sofer, these two Perushim of Rashi are exact opposites. Vayeovek, a lashon of dust, is what two enemies do. Two enemies, when they're fighting, they're clawing, they're wrestling, they're pulling, they're biting, they're a lashon of dust. But the other pshat in Vayeovek, they're entangled and embraced and hugging each other. That's what two lovers do. That's what two people who love each other do. They're miskasher. They're embracing each other. How could both perushim fit in the same word? Vayovik. Furthermore, after the first wrestling match, nothing happens to Yaakov. But vayar kilo yachaloi. Beheyovkoi. A second wrestling match. Says the Ksav Sofer. Maseyovoi simen labanim. Esav knew there are two ways to attack Yaakov. So first he tried the physical wrestling match, clawing, gnawing, biting, kicking. He tried massacre, pogrom, inquisition, gas chamber, crematoria. No, he couldn't destroy him. So Yaakov Avinu says, so Esav says, let me try something else. Let me try United States of America. Freedom, liberty. Acculturation, assimilation. The second type of wrestling that hurt Yaakov Avinu. There are two within this wrestling match. There are two tactics of Esav. There's miyad achi, and there's miyad Esav. And the miyad achi is much more dangerous. Let me show you another diuk of Rabbi Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer, a descendant of Chassam Sofer. Watch this. Everyone, you ready for this? You got to be completely prepared to hear this unbelievable diuk. Says the pasuk, what happened after Yaakov's hip socket was dislocated? So he suffered a dislocated hip socket, and you would have expected to read on the injury report, Yaakov Avinu is doubtful for the next game, probable for the next game, they're waiting for the coach's assessment. No limp of Yaakov Avinu. He had a dislocated hip socket, and he's not on the injury report. Oh, Vayizrach Leah Shemesh. Look at number 8. The sun shines. V'hutzoy Leah. He's limping. Huh? The angel of Esav dislocates the hip socket. Yaakov's not limping. The sun is shining. Yaakov is limping. Says Rabbi Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer. The Ksav Sofer says this as well. When the Goyim brutalize us and they antagonize us and they afflict us and they physically brutalize us, we are injured, but the injuries are quickly recovered from. But as soon as they start to shine, the sunshine of friendship and fraternity and brotherhood on the Jewish people, Vayizrach lo yashemesh, v'hut soileya, that's when we're limping. Say, really? But, you know, they massacred half the Jewish population in Europe, 6 million Jews. That was terrible. But more Jews have disappeared in the United States of America than disappeared in the Holocaust. Those are the facts. The intermarriage rate today is over 70%. 7 out of 10 wedding invitations of a Yid are not to a Yid. So which method of Esav historically has been more successful? It's a very difficult and painful debate. It's actually a debate that many of the Hasidic Rebbes had, and we're going to discuss that. But this is what the Beis Halevi writes, that Yaakov Avinu was much more afraid of Hatzileni na miyad Achi than miyad Esav. I want to tell you a drush from Rabbi Yaakov Breish that he said in the immediate aftermath of the Holocaust. The pasuk says that when Esav HaRasha came in to Yitzchak's room with the matamim, vayecherad Yitzchak harada gedoyla, Yitzchak feared a very great trembling. Yitzchak was very, very frightened. And the Medrash says twice in the life of Yitzchak, Yitzchak was frightened. Once at the Akedah, when Yaakov Avinu was about to shecht Yitzchak, that Yitzchak was not very in a very pleasant state of mind when the knife was about to be put on his neck. As you can imagine, most people, when they're about to be shechted, are not very comfortable. And Yitzchak was quite frightened when Avram was about to shecht him. Another time that Yitzchak was frightened was when Esav came in with the matamim. And Chazal, when was Yitzchak more frightened? At the Akedah or when Esav came in to get the brachos? Says the Midrash. Vayecherad Yitzchak charado gedoyla ad moed. Yitzchak was very, very frightened. From here we see, says the Medrash, Yitzchak was more frightened when Yaakov Avinu came, when Esav came to take the brachos, than at the Akedah. What exactly was he so frightened about when Esav came to take the brachos? He was even more frightened than by the Akedah. Says Rabbi Yaakov Breish, there are two very vicious attacks of Esav. One is when they try to kill us. And the other is when they try to cause assimilation and acculturation. Twice in the life of Yitzchak, Yitzchak faced both of these threats. One was when Yaakov Avinu, was at the Akedah. You know what Yitzchak saw when he was at the Akedah? He saw that he's about to be killed. He sees into the future all the millions and millions of akedos that the Jewish people would suffer through history. He saw all the akedos of the pogroms, all the akedos of the Inquisition, all the akedos of the Holocaust. And Yitzchak was very, very frightened. But he wasn't as frightened as when Esav came in with the matamim, with those delicious delicacies. And Esav said, come, my dear, eat with us, drink with us, fraternize with us. Be one with us. That's when Yitzchak was much more frightened. The Akedah, we'll pick ourselves off the ash heaps, we'll lift ourselves off of the out of the gas chambers, and we will rebuild. But assimilation, very difficult. Much more difficult. Vayecherad Yitzchak charada gedoyla. You know when Yitzchak was really scared? Not from the Holocaust, but from assimilation. Says the Sfas Emes, you know, So Esau finally meets Yaakov Avinu, and what does the pasuk say? Vayishakeyu, he gave him a big, wet kiss. And we know that there are dots on top of the word Vayishakeyu. Says the Medrash, he wanted to bite him. I mean, the biting and kissing are different, right? You're aware of that? Those are different things. So it says he kissed him, but it means he wanted to bite him. Says the Sfas, it's the same thing. You know what Esav's real bite is? The bite of Esav is when he tries to kiss you. That's the real bite. The kiss of Esav is the bite of death. It's the kiss of death. That's how Esav's really going to get you. As the Divrei Chaim says in the Haggadah, in Mitzrayim, Vayareyu oisanu ha-Mitzrim. The Mitzrim, literally they did harm to us. The Divrei Chaim, more of Yiddish here. Any Yiddish experts over here? Good, so you wouldn't know. Fine, so you ready? Vayareyu oisanu. Vayareyu oisanu ha-Mitzrim. Zeha bin zichmid uns chaver gemacht. Vayareya, they wanted to be our Reya. They wanted to be our friend. That's how they tried to destroy us. So throughout history, there have been various attempts made of how to destroy the Jewish people. There's Hatzileni no Miyad Esav, but even worse, Hatzileni no Miyad Achi. In the beginning of the 19th century, there was a great ruler who was very progressive and very liberal, and he was embraced by many Gedolim. Rav Menachem Mendel of Rimonov davened for his success. He tore down the ghetto walls. He gave Jews equality. And the Jews were very confused by the actions of Napoleon Bonaparte. By Napoleon. They didn't say, is he for real? Does he really want to give us equality? But they soon realized when they heard that he didn't trust them at all. He told the border cities that Jews can't live in the border cities because they're not loyal to Mother France. His plan was to destroy the Jewish people backhandedly and covertly without them even realizing. So he proclaimed liberty, egalitarianism, and complete freedom for the Jewish people. And it came with a lot of Jewish pride. Napoleon made a Jewish Sanhedrin. The head of Napoleon's Jewish Sanhedrin was a great Gadol who's buried in France, from David Sinsheim. And not all Gadolim embraced him. Reb Levi Yitzchak Baraditchev, he prayed for Napoleon's welfare. Reb Chaim Volozhiner seemed to have been an advocate of Napoleon. But as Napoleon is marching toward Russia, there was a tzaddik there who encourage people to be loyal to the Tsar, the brutal Tsar. The Jews were brutalized in Russia. They were tortured in Russia. But Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi told the Jewish people, you need to be loyal to the Tsar. Better to be brutalized under the Tsar, at least you'll be brutalized Jews, than to be freed by Napoleon and be free Gentiles. And this was a big machlokes between Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi. Rav Naftali of Rabshitz agreed with the Baal HaTanya. And Rav Nachman Mendel Rimonov said, no, the Jewish people are being destroyed in Russia. And as Napoleon is headed toward Russia, as the Russian army retreats, Rav Shneur Zalman of Baal HaTanya retreats with the Russian army. He says, we're going to be loyal to the Tsar of Russia. Until he ultimately, the Baal HaTanya passed away. And so I was looking at some of the history in Rabbi Berlwein's book. Oh, I brought it with me. What do you know? I don't promote other people's books here. You could get it from Art Scroll, but if you're getting a book from Art Scroll, I would get The Light and the Splendor. No, but his books are terrific. And he quotes a sefer, Toldois Hadoyrois. So I called one of the rabbanim in the neighborhood who I know is a history buff. I said, do you happen to have Toldos HaDoyrois? He said, what are you talking about? There's no such thing Toldos HaDoyrois. There's Doyrois HaRishonim, which of course I have. And there's Toldos Am Yisrael, which I don't have. I said, no, Rabbi Wein quotes Toldos HaDoyrois. And I looked on Oitzra Chachma, it's not there. And I looked on Hebrew books, it's not there. So I called Sfarim World, in Borough Park, and he said he hasn't seen Toldos HaDoros in 25 years. It was written by a Belzer Chassid, and it was never even printed. It was a typewriter. So I called my friend Mizrahi of Mizrahi Bookstores. I said, Toldos HaDoros? He said, sure, I have it. I said, I need it now. Put it in the Uber. 30 minutes later, I had the full set of Toldos HaDoros just for your enjoyment. Number 16 on the sheet. Why do I want Toldos HaDoros? The original letter of Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi of why he opposed the rulership of Napoleon and why it was better to be loyal to the Tsar. We have B'yoyim Aleph, the Rosh Hashanah, before Musaf. Rav Shneur Zalman seemed to say that it was shown to him in Hashamayim that if Bonaparte wins, if Napoleon wins, Jews will be wealthy, Jews will be successful, Jews will be elevated, but they won't be Jews anymore. As opposed to under the Tsar, they'll be brutalized, they'll be tortured, they'll be harassed, but they'll be Jews. And therefore, Rav Shneur Zalman prayed for the success of the Tsar. Now, you know that Napoleon made it as far as Jerusalem. And he looked at its foreboding walls, and he thought better than to attack Jerusalem. In Jerusalem at the time was Rabbi Yomtiv Al-Ghazi. He prayed for Napoleon's downfall, and he sided with the Turks in Jerusalem. Napoleon makes a turn. He heads to Yafo. He heads to Acre. He's going to attack Acre. Who is in the city of Acre at the time? Rav Nachman of Breslov happened to be there at the time. Rav Nachman put a curse on Napoleon, and from then on, Napoleon had a tremendous downfall. Anyway, these are the two faces of Esav. Hatzileni na miyarochi, miyar Esav. The parable goes, and this is quoted in the Haggadah Shel Pesach of Babov. There was a great debate between the wind and the sun. Who's stronger? So how do you prove who's stronger? You know, the sun can't melt the wind, and the wind can't blow away the sun. So they said, hey, we have a great guy. We have a great method. We're going to take a guy. Let's see who could get this guy to take off his jacket, his coat, and his hat. And whoever is successful in doing that, that will prove that that entity is stronger. So there's a guy walking down the street. He's wearing his coat. He's wearing his hat. And the temperature starts to drop 40, 30, 20, 10 degrees, and the wind starts blowing, tornado, hurricane, tsunami, whirlwind. The guy's spinning, flapping, he's flying in the air. He's off to Kansas already. But the stronger the wind blows, the more the guy is holding his coat, and he's holding tighter the hat. And the stronger the wind blows, the stronger the guy's holding onto his coat and his hat. And the wind cannot budge the coat and the hat of the guy. The sun says, step aside, step aside. All of a sudden, it's a beautiful day. It's 70 degrees. It's like San Diego. And it's 80 degrees. And the guy is schwitzing. And the guy is hot. And the guy rolling up his sleeves. And it's 90 degrees. And the guy takes off his coat. And he takes off his hat. And the sun says, you see, what you couldn't do with brute force, I got the guy to do on his own. So I'm going to share with you a Mara Makoim from a Sefer that is not yet available to the public. The name of the Sefer is Parashas Gedulas Mordechai. There are only a few copies of this. This is the biography and the experiences of the Holocaust of a great tzaddik, my grandfather, Rav Mordechai Leib Gladstein, that we put together about my grandfather's experiences. And he, my grandfather, told over many times that in the concentration camps and the death camps, he would be saying Tehillim. And the Nazi would come and club him, right? Reb Ezra, you met the Zayda, right? They would club him over the head. I heard from an eyewitness that one time he was knocked unconscious and he woke up a day later. And he got up and he continued saying Tehillim. And they said, Rabbi, why do you still pray? You think the Jewish people have a future? We Germans, we will destroy all the Jews of Europe. The Arabs will destroy all the Jews of Palestine. and the Jews of America, Jews of America will take care of themselves. And unfortunately, what Hitler was most correct about was the Jews of America. Because more Jews disappeared in this country with the sun shining, Vayizrach le'hashemesh, than over there in Behayavka Yimai. And therefore, we like to suggest the following approach, which I happen to write in very short in The Light and the Splendor, but I think it's much more developed now. And that is based on this yusayid of the Chafetz Chaim, that when they attack us physically, the correct response is tefillah. And when they attack us spiritually, the correct response is warfare. How should Yaakov respond to Esav? Which tactic should Yaakov have used? Was Yaakov encountering Chanukah, taking away a religion, or was Yaakov encountering Purim, annihilation? What's the answer to that? What was the threat of Yaakov? Both! He was encountering Hatzilenina Miyad Achi and Miyad Esav. He was encountering the wrestling match of enemies and the wrestling match of lovers. He was encountering the kiss. He was encountering the bite. He was encountering all of the above. The Vayoreu as a friend and the Vayoreu as harming. And therefore Yaakov Avinu, of course, had to prepare both methods of defense. Yaakov Avinu had to prepare for war against Miyad Achi. And he had to prepare for tefillah against Miyad Esav. And that explains, if you want to know, is Parshas Vayishlach analogous to Chanukah? Or is it analogous to Purim? The answer is Esav encapsulated both threats. And I want to share with you a mind-boggling gematria. Comes Esav, Vayiga b'chaf yerechai, says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, Vayiga is gematria Chanukah, 89, kaf yerechai is gematria Purim. He doesn't explain. But we're explaining that Esav always comes with both attacks. Says the Beis Halevi, after 2,000 years, Esav realizes the Miyad Esav doesn't work. So he tries a new attack. And that's the attack of the end of days. That's the attack of Miyad Achi. And the attack of Miyad Achi is Vayecherad Yitzchak Charoda Gedoyla. That's much, much more frightening. The wrestling match of Oyhavim is much more dangerous than the wrestling match of Soyneim. Because that is when Yaakov begins to limp, when Vayizrach Loi Hashemesh. And then the verdict of history is that, unfortunately, the Baal HaTanya seem to have been correct. That what 1,000 years of European Jewish history couldn't do to the Jews, a good 100 years of assimilation in Europe was able to really jumpstart Haskalah, reform, and the seeds of a lot of dangerous, venomous difficulties for the Jewish people. And that's the Masei Avos Sim Labanim of Parshas Vayishlach. The Ramban says that whenever we encounter our enemies, we always have to study Parshas Vayishlach. And therefore, we always have to be prepared to do tshuva against the Miyad Esav, and you have to be prepared for Melchamas HaYetzer against Miyad Achi. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. Wishing everyone bracha v'atzlacha. Next week will be last year before Chanukah. And have a great week. Kol tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.